Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and
Grace Ibarra
here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Grace, if Brupolo was in Antioch.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, if you are a Mississippi State fan and you are a business owner, this is a deal you cannot pass up. You already spend money every month on printing. Give your business to Pip Printing and Signs. Talk to my friend Cam Baker. Tell him you heard about this on Thunder and Lightning. 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. You have become a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra dime of your own money. That is a no-lose situation for you, for your business, for Pip Printing and Signs, and, of course, for Mississippi State. Call Camden Baker, 601-499-5216. Tell them you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for, and you are looking for it. Father's Day is coming up. It's time to get Dad a new polo. He's been rocking that same sad banner rim polo for the last 5-6 years. It's frayed around the edges. It's got the stink of Arnett on it. Get it out! Get yourself a nice new State Script polo from our friends at College Corner. That's what you want to bring to the new era of Mississippi State football. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Grace, is Steph taking you out to dinner at Restaurant Tyler? Have we had this discussion?
Yes, he has.
He has.
And maybe he owes me now after being gone for like 5-6 days.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see him.
I mean, I understand. Yeah. You're away from loved ones. You're like, hey, I want to see them.
Yeah, I mean, so, he spent too much time with Robbie probably over the last.
Well, and John, too.
Yeah.
Don't forget. So, I mean, that's. Those three. He's troublemakers.
Probably glad to get
they
a break.
They didn't have me
them.
There to keep them grounded.
Yeah.
I don't like to say I'm the dad because that makes me feel really
no,
old.
But
I can be like the uncle.
Yeah, you make sure everybody's on their best behavior.
I keep everybody, which is incredible.
Keep the bits to a minimum.
Oh, no, I'm all about the bits. You know that I'm all about the bits. I'm also all about Restaurant Tyler and their fantastic dinner. If you want a great steak, great pasta dishes. And, of course, if you're a vegetarian, they have fantastic options there as well. Plus, my favorite dessert in town, the stuffed pancake. Have you had the stuffed pancake?
I have never had the stuffed pancake. What does that entail?
Okay, Grace. Well, first off, it's not really a pancake. It's more of a crepe.
Oh, yes.
But it's a crepe. It's filled with, like, cheesecake filling
that
and then wrapped
lovely.
Up and then with, like, a chantilly cream and raspberry sauce over the top with some candied pecans.
That sounds great.
It's bleeping good, all right?
Bleeping good.
It's bleeping good.
I'll have to try it.
Next time you're there with Steph, you're like, oh, why don't we get a little dessert? It's just the right size for two as well. So you share it, it's fantastic.
Hopefully he shares.
If he doesn't, you just get in there with the spoon and fight him off. Have a great meal. Have a special occasion. It's just a meal at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They will show you the location nearest to you. If you live in Central Mississippi, there's got to be one near you. And they're also going to show you what they can do for you and for your money. They don't make you work for your money. They work for your money. They have an incredible amount of experience. They have an incredible amount of services that they offer to help you and your finances grow. And the best part is, if you have a question, you're going to call a number and talk to a person. It's not going to be, your business is very important to us. None of that. At Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Oh, hey there, Grace.
Oh, hey there. I almost said Robbie.
What is it with you people?
I don't know.
He called me John when I did that.
I feel like I usually do that bit with Robbie.
We need to understand that bit.
I know.
Is just the person talking to you.
It's applicable to everyone.
Literally. It could be anybody could walk in right now. Our producer, our station producer, Sebastian Riley, is over there in the office. He could walk in right now and be like, hey there, Sebastian.
I would probably accidentally say Robbie.
You might say Robbie. I feel so, you know.
Yeah, I haven't seen Robbie in over a week, but for some reason his name
I saw
came
him last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We did a Zoom.
I was like, teleport? No, I understand.
He has powers.
Yeah, I'm sure he wish he could teleport right now.
It's his birthday, so, you know, I'd see.
Happy birthday, Robbie.
Well, it's not anymore.
I know, but late. You know, 35 will be the best
year
for Robbie.
Robbie's birthday.
Is it's also my birthday. No, it's not my birthday.
When is your birthday?
January 25th.
Oh, you come and gone.
Yeah, I know. So. We already hit that.
We took you out for your birthday, didn't we?
I went to Disney for my birthday, actually.
So then, no, we didn't.
But it's okay.
Are you saying we owe you a breakfast lunch
it's
or
okay.
a birthday lunch or something?
No, it's so gone at this point. You know, we're moved on to Steph's birthday at this point.
Whose birthday?
Oh, I forgot. It's not his birthday.
It's not his birthday. So he's next on the list, though, right?
July 3rd. July 3rd. He'll be in Serbia for his birthday.
Oh, I know. You've told me about this. Yeah, y'all are going to. Y'all are both going to Europe.
Yes.
But you're going to see a certain musical act.
Yes, we're going together.
I'm
going
to sneak Emily into your suitcase somehow. We'll let you know.
Somehow,
that.
Just
and then
ship her off.
You're gonna have to wear a fat suit, but it's not a fat suit. It's Emily. She's going to strap her around your body, go into the concert.
Another human being on.
And then when you get in the concert, y'all go to the bathroom, she comes out, you're in.
I think that works.
I think it does work. I bet. Here's the thing, though. If I told Emily that, hey, look, we're going to put you in a box, you'll be able to breathe, but you're going to be in this box for like 15 hours flying from America to Switzerland or wherever it is you're going.
Yeah, it's in Zurich.
Yeah. But you're going to get to see Taylor Swift. She would be like, yes. I guarantee she would question it. I'm going to ask her that now.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask her that now. All right, let's get off of this because that's going down a road. I said we would get on the road and see where it took us. That's not the term we wanted.
The road
make.
Took us to Switzerland.
It did. Mississippi State baseball, season over. And I think that this is the biggest offseason that I remember for a Mississippi State coach in quite some time. Because you bought yourself some time if you're Chris Lemonis, right? You had the kind of season that gets you another year, that gets you some stability, that should get you some momentum in the portal. Because I truly believe that's part of the reason players like Paul Skeens and Luke Holman and Braden Montgomery didn't want to come to Mississippi State was because they didn't see a future at Mississippi State. State has shown now that they can get back into the postseason. So that's good. But Grace, I've been racking my brain trying to think of a bigger rebuild in Mississippi State history. Now, it's different because in the past you didn't have the portal. And if you lost a big senior class, you couldn't just snap your fingers and bring in 10 guys and everything was okay again. This might be the way I want to phrase this question because you cover State and Ole Miss. Can Chris Lemonis and Mississippi State baseball do what Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss football have done? Can they live in the portal? Because that's what they're going to have to do next year to be successful. They legitimately need to get 7 to 8 starters as position players and 2 or 3 guys that can come in and be weekend starters / closers right off in the SEC right off the bat. You know Chris Lemonis pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're not really talking out of school here. Like, she watches his dog.
Yeah, Frankie's a great, great French bulldog.
Right. So you have sort of, you know, an away-from-work relationship with Lemonis. You know his personality. I feel like I know his personality. Can he be a recruiter of that kind of player? Can he go out in the portal and get those kind of guys? What do you think?
I think yes, and I think it's definitely been a growing process for him in the portal. From what I mean, I went to college with his daughter, and just talking to her, I know that she said it was really different when the portal age kind of came around because he wasn't used to that. He's been in the coaching business for so long, and this has just kind of turned everything upside down. So these coaches that have been around for longer are trying to figure out and navigate how to work the new age of, you know, recruiting. And I think it took him a minute to try to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And then having these two past seasons where you get set back enormously by not making even the SEC tournament, that just really, really makes things more difficult. And you go out and, you know, you try to get a guy like Paul Skeens and you can't get him to come here. And it's just difficult. But now that you can prove that you're back in the postseason, I know Stefan last night asked Lemonis, what is your biggest pitch to these guys when you go into the portal? And want them to come to state. And he said, just show them the dude, show them the facilities. And, you know, we saw the last two seasons that maybe wasn't enough when they didn't have the postseason success or getting to the postseason to match that. But now that they've shown they can be back there, be a top 25 team, and have, you know, the best facilities in college baseball, I think that's a much better recruiting pitch to some of these kids in the portal.
I also think that Justin Parker helps you a lot.
Oh, my gosh. I think I saw somebody last night say he's a wizard.
There are some Harry Potter qualities to Justin Parker, because it does feel like he waved a magic wand and turned what was I'm not making a joke. I'm not trying to be insulting when I say the worst pitching staff in the conference a year ago.
I mean, statistically,
that's what it was. And they turned it into one of the best. And up until his decision last night, or I guess I should say two nights ago as you're listening, to pull Gavin Black for Tyler Davis, which I can justify logically, right? You're bringing in your closer. You want a left on left. I get it. I personally don't walk away from a heater that Black was dealing. That's fine. But until that moment, I had nothing to question this man on through 60-plus games. And I just see him, and I think last year he was such an unknown. He was kind of an unknown quantity. You know, he'd done well at South Carolina, but South Carolina.
And where was he before?
Where was Justin Parker before? Yeah. Was he at Indiana?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't know if you remember, Bobby Whalen was the guy that walked it off on Saturday night for Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
He was an Indiana transfer, so he actually was at Indiana with Parker, randomly enough, but everybody has Indiana ties.
I'm getting kind
of tired. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Of all these Hoosiers. Everywhere I look.
But that's how Parker got Cal, because he recruited him in high school in Indiana.
I mean, it worked. I think last year Parker was still a little of an unknown quantity.
Yeah.
You know, he had been with South Carolina, but South Carolina's a program that just had success, right? You know, 2 years ago with Fox Hall, I get why Skeens didn't want to come.
Oh, I do not blame him.
Now, how can you? The guy went number one in the draft and won a national title. He made the right choice for himself.
He did basically everything he needed to do for himself.
But I think this year you have a situation where pitchers can look at Parker and what he did. Gerangelo likely going to be close to a first-round pick, if not one. Kyle Steven will be drafted in the first 10 rounds of the draft, and he'll get good money. And you can show on paper, we went from this to this ERA. We went from this to this.
The numbers are crazy.
We went from this to this walks. They are crazy. They legitimately look like you let a little kid play a video game, and then you let a person who knows how to play it play, and that's what the difference in the numbers would be. That's what it looks like. So I think State does have a lot of things going for it in terms of that. My question is more like with Lemonis' personality. I remember talking to him during the middle of the 23 season about the portal, he didn't say this, but he said it without saying it, if that makes sense, that he's just not a fan. You know, he would rather he wants the high school recruiting to be the bedrock of the program. I'm a guy that's starting to think that is kind of done. Like, as far as high school guys, if you need to I don't know about baseball as much because it's just a different sport. In football, your high school guys are going to be one of two things. Stars who can play immediately as true freshmen, or guys who know they are developmental guys. If you get a guy who's like, I think I'm good enough to play, he's going to transfer at the end of the first year if he's not playing.
And even if they are playing, they still transfer.
They still transfer from time to time. But if you've got a guy who's locked into a starting job, he's probably going to be okay.
I mean, look at Quinshon Judkins.
I think there's some other stuff
There's
other stuff at play there.
It's crazy, though. You're not really committed to anyone at this
point. That's why
Ole Miss
had to recruit five more running backs to replace one guy. I don't think financially or personnel-wise that made a ton of sense.
No, but it's crazy, though, that you spend all this time in high school, you know, going to someone's games and being there only for, you know, you don't even know if you're going to get a full college career out of them anymore.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, in baseball, I understand that there is a development piece, because you go from playing high school kids who, you know, you might have a guy on the other side throwing 82, 83, and now all of a sudden guys are throwing 94, 95.
Yeah.
Every pitcher is throwing that at you. So I get that there's more of an adjustment there. And I think, you know, you saw Ethan Pulliam had some success this year. I thought Dylan Cupp had some moments, although there's some rumors about him possibly moving on, which would be interesting, because I feel like you can certainly pencil him in for the starting shortstop job a season from now.
It's too hard to, you know, start him over Mershon.
Well, Marshawn's not going to be here, though.
No, I know. I'm saying this past season, this year. You know, you see that you're getting passed over for that starting job, but you look at a guy who's going to go probably in the first
10 rounds of the draft.
He improved his stock so much even this past weekend.
Yeah, yeah. No question about it. So, why do you think coaches are loath to adapt? One thing we always say here on this podcast is there's a lot of coaches who would rather lose their way than win somebody mm-hmm. else's way. Lane Kiffin is a different guy than that.
Right.
He'll adapt. Nick Saban is a guy who his whole career he adapted, and that's why he's probably the best of all time. But then you've got some coaches who are they'll just go down with the ship with their way of doing it, and they don't. It's really weird. I don't think Lemonis is that guy. He made the change with Foxhall, who'd been with him from the beginning. But it does feel from like a personality standpoint, he's going to have to like grit his teeth to do this portal recruiting. I don't know that he really wants to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I knew. I guess it's difficult when anybody has to learn something new, when any of our jobs change in any facet, but...
I do fear change.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like when things change at work and I have to do something different, and I can't imagine something as drastic as a transfer portal, you know,
but
altering
recruiting. But at the same time, Grace, it's this is the way now.
No, it is the way, but I've just, you know, there's going to be a learning curve with it mm-hmm. where obviously everyone's doing it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But change is difficult, just period.
No, you're not wrong. Wow. State has to go out and replace, for sure, let's just say, who is for sure gone? Jordan.
Dakota
Jordan is gone. He'll be a first-round pick.
Gerangelo
is gone. I'm trying to just think of the lineup here. Let's see if we can. Let's stick to that first. Then we'll go to the pitching.
Well, starting at the top.
Marshawn is gone.
Yes.
Marshawn's going to be a top 10 round pick, which means he'll be gone.
Hunter.
So Hines is the interesting one to me because... He would have no leverage if he came back.
Mm-hmm.
You could certainly put together a good NIL deal to keep him. He is the guy that's the most difficult to replace. And I know people might find that interesting because he hit 250 this year, right? But there aren't a lot of guys with his power that are going to be in the portal. You know, those guys are going to get drafted. And I don't think that the Bulldog Initiative is incapable of doing two things. And that's keeping Hines and finding another good player. It's not like we're giving Hines this money and we can't spend it elsewhere. I don't feel like that's what the Bulldog Initiative would say. And he knows he had a really down year. And it's possible, he's the guy that it's possible that, because also another thing to remember with Hines is he's not a COVID guy, right? He is a true junior.
It's crazy we're finally getting to that wave of players
right.
that come in after.
But he's not 23 or 24, yeah. right? He's 21, 22, something like that. So it's not like you're catching him. He's not starting to get into his prime at that point. There's a window for him where he could come in and improve and still keep the power but hit 310 next year, and all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe we want to take him a little higher. Now, he loses probably some signing bonus money regardless, but NIL deal could easily make that up for him
mm-hmm.
or make up some of that for him. I think Hines will go, but I'm not going to be totally surprised if he decides to come back. Not totally surprised.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Chance probably gone, and we were talking about Chance beforehand. Like, Chance is a guy that you can replace in the portal.
You're not gonna find another Swiftie though, like that.
I didn't know he was a Swiftie.
Dude, his walk-up song is Taylor Swift.
His walk-up song is Taylor Swift.
It's been Taylor Swift the entire season.
No.
Yes.
I thought it was like a Christian rock song.
No.
What is that song?
Don't Blame Me by Taylor Swift.
See, this is where I need Emily. I don't know these things.
It's definitely a Taylor Swift song. He's a Swiftie.
Oh Lord, blah
yeah,
blah blah.
Yeah, that's not
that's Taylor
that
Swift.
Not a Christian rock song. That is Taylor Swift.
Well, I said Lord. I just figured it
oh,
was going
no.
from there. I had no idea that was a Taylor Swift song.
It is.
Well,
and
I learned
something today.
When
he was slumping a bit at the beginning of the season, he changed it to a different Taylor Swift song and then changed it back.
What was it originally? Before what was before that?
It was Don't Blame Me. Then he changed it to So It Goes and then back to Don't Blame Me.
I had no idea. About
yeah,
it.
He's Swiftie.
I need to.
Yes.
I needed to ask him about that.
That's why I love him.
Okay. So that is tough to replace. I will admit. You may not be able to find somebody
like
with that. But you can find an outfielder who will hit around 300 and is a plus
yeah,
defensively
sure.
guy. From a strictly baseball perspective, Grace, we can replace him.
Okay, fine.
Hizak is gone
yeah.
for sure. You lose both catchers. I think Powell might still have some eligibility, but you do bring back Ross Highfield next year.
Yeah, he'll be healthy.
So that's helpful. That's something you didn't have this year. At third, Kohler is obviously gone. I'm not, you know, Pulliam will take over for Larry at second. Mm-hmm. If you told me right now to fill up a lineup card, I'll put Pulliam and then a bunch of question marks.
Maybe Cup if he stays.
Maybe if Cup stays, he would definitely start at short. And then, you know, you got guys like, I would think if Hines leaves, Nolan Stevens is probably the first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson McKenzie will find his way into the lineup. Steven Spallitta, Michael O'Brien will find their way into the lineup. But
It looks so different.
Oh, it's going to be totally different. And then, like I said, this is making some assumptions that you don't replace them with quality portal guys. The pitching rotation is completely different next year. Pico Khan is probably, going into the season, is your Friday night guy. I don't know that we're ever going to see anything from Bradley Lofton. I don't know. You know, we're 2 years into this, and he can't get right. You got to go find a Kyle Steven. You need to find what Carson Ligon was supposed to be. He ended up not being that, but you got to find a guy like that, a guy who's been a Power 5 starter. One of the things I liked about Jans and what he did this year was he got Power 5 guys.
Mm-hmm.
We got some Thunder. Well, Thunder and Thunder Lightning. On Thunder and Lightning. But he went out and got guys who had proven it at this level. I hope State is able to do that in baseball, because if they can't, if they got to go rely the mid-major route again, that can be iffy, Grace. I don't know. I just don't know if Chris Lemonis is up for the task that's in front of him here. This is going to be a massive, massive rebuild.
Yeah, and from the pitching perspective, I guess we go back to Parker. I know he was big on the recruiting front with Cal, and I'm sure has some other leads on guys who maybe aren't, you know, what Cal was this season, but maybe what he was last season, and he's kind of like a home, what is it, like when they flip houses and stuff, where you take something that's like a little bit, fixer-upper, and he like makes it beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. He's one of, he's like HGTV, you know?
He's on Love It or List It? Is that what's going
on
here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
List It is like the go find portal guy who's already perfect. And
then Love It is bring it up. Bring it up. Okay.
I watched some HGTV.
What an analogy.
Yeah.
That is a top five analogy on this show.
You're not going to get that analogy from Robbie.
No, Robbie Falk. Dude, I don't even watch that channel.
Dude, that's what Becky watches.
I'm sitting there trying to watch the game, and she's talking about Home and Garden.
That's what it is, though.
Yeah, that's very good.
Cal was a fixer-upper.
I need to find. I wish I had Photoshop skills, because I would.
Me too.
I would do that. I would. Justin Parker is the fixer-upper or something like that. That could be good. I feel like we're gonna start getting some momentum earlier. You remember last year? It took forever to get guys in. Like, it was just a process, and I think there was a lot of rejection happening behind the scenes. This year, if we're it's June 3rd, if it's around Steph's birthday, and we don't have some names in the boat that look like they can play, I'm worried. I'll be worried at that point. I'm worried now. What am I saying? But I'll be at that point. I'm going to think it's not going the way they want it to. I feel like as soon as the College World Series gets to the College World Series, you know, once they get out of Super Regionals, it's time to start seeing some guys making some commitments. Don't you think?
Oh yeah, and I mean, I think there's really no break for them. They go right into it today.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It's summer. It's time to grill. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef. Nobody is ever unhappy when you say, I'm having a cookout, and they are like, well, cool, what are we having?
Never
steak.
Never been unhappy.
If somebody's having a cookout, and they say, and you ask, what are we having? Steak.
I'm very happy.
Exactly. Burgers.
Doing great.
Brisket.
Yep.
There you go. So, we're not making anything up here. We're just telling you how we feel. Beef. It's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cod District is the place for smoked Southern soul food. And the summer is a great time to be at Two Brothers. The patio, outside, sit outside, enjoy the sun. Enjoy some great food. And the evening time, they usually have some live music going on out there. I think people don't realize about Two Brothers is that after, 8 o'clock, 8:30 or so, it turns into a bar. And you can go in there and have a great time with the young folk. Maybe Brian Haydad in there. I always ask the same question, where's the female version of me? Where's, the woman who has a bunch of young friends? Like, I never look up and I'm like, is that woman 50? I never have that moment. It's always, I'm always the oldest person when we go out.
That's
always.
A good point, actually.
Like, is there not a doppelganger out there of me?
Just because these young people keep moving in on the beat, and then they get replaced by other young people.
What's going to be funny is when this group leaves. Yeah. Like, you and Steph leave, and then John will leave.
Are you going to be done with your young people at that point?
Well, I mean, at some point, I'm going to be, like, 55, and, like, talking to a bunch of 22-year-olds, like, hey, what's going on? Like,
be like, trust me, he's not creepy.
When does it get, yeah, when do I become creepy?
I don't think you become creepy.
I hope not. I'm working on that anyway. We'll see. We say all that to say the food at Two Brothers is delicious. And
that was a long tangent.
It happens. It happens quite often.
Food is great. Nightlife is great. Go to Two Brothers.
Go to Two Brothers. And check out the older brother.
Yes, I need to do that.
You haven't done that yet.
Well, I've been waiting for Steph to
get back. Sandwiches in a bistro environment over there.
Yes.
At the older brother. When Steph gets back, he's taking you to Restaurant Tyler and to the older brother.
He's got a list now.
Well, I mean, you know, this is what happens when you leave.
Right.
He got to go. He took a vacation, as far as I'm concerned. Now it's time to come back and take care of you.
Yeah, so true.
There you go. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. See, I'm 48. Still young. Still vibrant and alive. 49 is a long time.
Yeah, that's difference there with the year.
Huge difference. Thank you. I appreciate you knowing that. If you need technology for your business, give them a call. That way, you know who you're dealing with. You're talking to people here in the state of Mississippi, and you know the person that you're going to call back when you need to get service after the sales. These are machines. They break. There's no getting around that. The difference is a 1-800 number, a call center that has you on hold for 45 minutes, an out-of-state technician that you'll come in a week to 10 days, or a 601 number where somebody picks up the phone, talks to you, and then you can fix your problem sometimes the same day because they're just a couple hours away from you here in the state of Mississippi. Let Advantage Business Systems take care of you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the game, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Again, Father's Day coming up. Dad needs new gear, and you can get stuff you can't get anywhere else at Maroon & Co. A fantastic line of polos, t-shirts, caps, all with the logos that you want. If your dad wants to wear the Bulldog Initiative gear that the coaches are wearing, it's only available at Maroon & Co. And plus a lot of other great stuff for the house, for the tailgate, for his car. If you're looking for a great gift for dad, you can find it at Maroon & Co. Before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. All right, Grace, you're going to have to sit in here on our SEC predictions today.
Okay.
All right, so we are 4 weeks in. We're going alphabetically because we always get mixed up when we don't go alphabetically.
I understand.
It's been a problem these last few years. Today is the Florida Gators. Today is the Florida Gators.
Okay.
I will just go ahead and tell you that you may be surprised by my prediction.
Okay, what is it?
It's bad.
Mm.
So let's just go through
it. Where is that game?
No. We're doing the whole schedule here.
Oh, we're doing the entire schedule?
We're not talking about the Florida game in Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about Florida.
Okay.
We got 12 games to predict here.
Whoa, okay.
Lock in. Here we go.
I'm buckled in.
They start off, as you know, this is the toughest schedule in college football.
Jeez. What did Florida do to deserve that?
They stole Scott Strickland and Dan Mullen.
Okay. But that's fair.
All right, then. They start off with Miami at home. That's August 31st. I believe that is a noon kickoff, which means people are going to die of the heat.
Yeah, the swamp is going to kill a few people.
Taking Miami. What do you say?
Yeah, let's go with the U.
Okay. Like that. I feel like that's two teams that are both going to underachieve, but I like Florida less.
Noons are always like sleepy starts.
That's true. Yeah.
Coming from an Eastern school.
All right. So they play Samford in week two. They should get the W there. I mean, that's an FCS school.
Yeah, you definitely should. Otherwise, we have a lot of problems.
Then they host Texas A&M.
Mm.
Now, when I put this, I've already done the helmet schedule here. I have everything filled out, so I know all my predictions. I was higher on A&M than I thought I would be originally when I sat down and did all the predictions. I just don't like Florida. I don't like Napier. I think when you have a bad coach, you can't win.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a good coach can overcome lesser talent sometimes.
He's had talent.
Yeah, but an elite coach can't. I mean, an elite talent, I don't think, can only carry a bad coach
exactly.
So far.
Exactly. And I would say Anthony Richardson was an elite talent.
I don't know. I don't know. I never saw it. I never got to see him in college do anything.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, I'm kind of
definitely an elite athlete.
Gaslighting myself into thinking he's going to be great this season.
He could be okay. He just got to stay healthy.
Just coping. It's just me coping out loud.
Look, I'm a Saints fan. Right? I know all about coping.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
You love Derek.
I got an L for the A&M game.
Okay.
So 1-2.
Where is that game?
It's in Gainesville.
Okay.
But I just don't
They're not doing well at home right now.
Well, it's going to get worse.
Oh, good. Well, there's a bye, right?
Yeah. We're going to talk about this bye coming up, and just because I think this is these two byes are very crucial, and I'll explain why. At Mississippi State.
Ooh.
So they're 1-2. They're reeling. State should be 3-0 coming into this game, right?
Okay.
They play Eastern Kentucky
at Arizona State,
Toledo. State should be 3-0.
Yeah.
Place is going to be loud. First SEC game for Jeff Lebby. I don't like Florida's chances here. I'm going to take State to win this game.
First SEC game. That's really good that you're taking that into account there. I think that adds to it.
I think it adds to the
everybody's going to be fired up.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll probably do some sort of fun wide out or something.
No.
I'm sorry.
Just go to the game.
Okay.
All right.
I think they look
cool.
We
here on Thunder and Lightning, we are not supporters of whiteouts, maroon outs, striping, anything like that.
I didn't say striping.
I'm just saying we're not supporters of those things.
Okay. You all hate right? fun.
Just
is
wear,
what you're saying.
No, I love fun. You know what? You know how I'm going to quote our good friend Houston Nutt. You know how I spell fun? W-I-N. All right. I feel like when you make these kind of games like that, you just add pressure that doesn't need to be there. All right? Just
I think the striping
wear maroon
and, like,
or white and come to the game.
The pattern ones, that stresses me out because then you have to look at your section.
It's just
and
annoying. And it never works. Like, we're 10 years into this, and, like, it has never looked good. So
I think the whiteout last year looked good.
It was okay. It was okay.
They won that game.
They did.
Even if it took overtime.
It took, yeah. So I've got Florida 1-3, and then they have their first bye week. This is where Scott Strickland gets fired.
We're predicting everything.
Well, here's what I'm saying. You can't fire. You're not going to let Strickland hire a third coach, right?
Yeah.
All right? They haven't worked out. You're not going to let him hire a third coach. But you can't fire Strickland and Napier at the end of the season and hope to get an AD in that can get the – you don't have time. You got to get the AD choice now so that you can make the football coach choice at the end.
Yeah, that's how it's tricky when you don't have an AD and then you have to hire a football coach.
Yeah.
Speaking from personal experience.
Then you end up the way other people ended up.
Yeah, you don't want to end up like that.
Strickland out, September 28th.
Okay.
Okay.
Mark it, put it in my calendar.
Go ahead and fire. Get it. Have a tweet in the drafts ready to go.
Yeah, I'll have a scheduled text sent to you.
That would also work.
Be like,
just send out a tweet of me going like this.
I'll like be like, that. Why did I tweet this?
Oh, yeah. He was right. All right, so 1-3 after the bye week. I think they get back on the winning track. That game with UCF is no joke, though.
Yeah.
UCF,
they don't play around.
Well, I look at Malzahn and KJ Jefferson. That's a good match.
I forgot he's there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
KJ Jefferson in the Malzahn offense is a good fit.
Yeah, I like
they
that
They could
a lot.
Win that game. I'm gonna be generous and say, you know, they win, right?
How giving of you.
I am a very giving person.
Yeah.
So it's said. At Tennessee, nah.
Yeah, we don't even need to explain why.
Kentucky at home. No. No. Kentucky's kind of had their number recently. Mm-hmm. Another bye week. This is where Napier gets fired.
Wow, the bye weeks are really
tumultuous. So we've got a
month.
We get our AD in there. Or at least, at the very least, we're moving on. We can't go full. We can't take another step like this. Because at this point, you're 2-5. And then you're about to play the hardest 5-game stretch I've ever seen in my life. Have you seen this? Do you know it?
No,
Here we go.
I'm ready for
Lock
it.
Lock in.
Okay.
After the bye week, they're 2-5, right?
This is about to be criminal.
Yeah. I'm sorry, they're not 2-5. Are they 2?
Basic math is difficult.
Oh, gosh. I have the wrong prediction written down. I had them at a... Well, we'll find out in a minute.
Okay. No spoilers.
Are they really going to do this? Let's find out. Georgia.
Where is that?
It's in Jacksonville.
Doesn't matter. Oh,
yeah. It's in the World's Largest Outdoor Cocktail Party. Georgia.
I've been to that stadium.
At Texas. Loss.
Yeah, that's going to be ugly.
Yeah. LSU. It's at home.
Doesn't really matter.
They're going to lose. Ole Miss. At home. They're going to lose. At Florida State. I had written down 3-9, but I just realized that I have them going 2-10.
Their two wins are the FCS
Samford
win.
And UCF.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, no SEC wins?
That's what I have written down here. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to wrap your brain around, right? Because it's Florida. If I said that for Vanderbilt, you'd be like, okay. If I said it for maybe even like South Carolina, you'd be like, all right. But if I could say it for Mississippi State, and some people would be like, okay.
The end of that schedule is a gut punch.
That I've never seen. So when I was a kid growing up, State used to play every year at the end of the year. It was always Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Ole Miss. That was the last four games of the year year. It was rough every year. And, I mean, you knew you were probably going 0-4. You might go 1-3 if you could somehow upset Ole Miss. We had a stretch where we won five straight over LSU, but that was a long time ago. This is brutal. I mean, Georgia and Texas are likely the preseason number one and number three teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss is a preseason top 10 team.
Yep.
Florida State should be a preseason top 10 team, maybe top 15 at worst. And then you have LSU, who, I mean, they're LSU. They're still talented. They're probably a top 25 team. I just don't see how you...
So it's a ranked matchup, basically.
I mean...
Every...
Based on... Ranked opponent. I would imagine that's top... The Georgia... Top five. LSU at this point in the season is probably top 15. Top 10 with Ole Miss. Top 10 with Florida State.
So top 15 for the last...
Yes.
5 weeks.
Yeah, the easiest game in there is LSU at home.
Easy.
That's the easiest game.
So their chance to really win an SEC game, what do you think would be like the most winnable SEC game on their schedule?
Kentucky at home and at Mississippi State.
That's what I was thinking.
And those are going to be tough games.
You said like Kentucky's had their number, and then State would be Lebby's first home SEC game.
It feels weird to say that I think Florida's going to go 2-10. It really feels weird.
Yeah, saying it out loud.
Because it's Florida. But that's what I think. I just don't see a lot of... I'll put it this way. If he goes 6-6 or better, if they go to a bowl, that guy is figured it out and is going to be winning a national title soon. But I just don't see that happening, Grace.
Yeah, he was not given an easy path to save his job.
Yeah. Eek. Eek. Next week will be a little bit easier to do the predictions because it's Georgia.
Oh, well. Win. Win.
It will be a little different than this week's projections.
Probably like the opposite of the record.
And Robbie will be back. I wish you were on tomorrow's podcast, Grace, because tomorrow's the rumblings. I would love to get a different perspective on all these silly questions that we get from time to time.
Just text me a random one, and I'll text you back.
I will do that. And then, or I'll just tag you in one on Twitter, and you can text me the answer so we don't give it away.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything.
So Robbie will be back tomorrow, and we're going to start turning the page to football. We're next week. Next week this time we'll be doing opponent previews, so we'll be 12 weeks out from the season. And then we got to start getting some college football guys here on the podcast like we did last year. So be looking forward to that. Grace, once again, thank you for filling in.
Thank you for
having me. Appreciate you. And guys, thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, for Robbie Falk and for Grace Ibarra, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.